السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 20 past 11. My name is Junaid Jassad. My co-host, Maulana Naeem Dokrat. And we have just listened to the random acts of kindness. Maulana Naeem, you'll have to fill me in on what was mentioned. My connection was very poor and I couldn't hear much of what was being said.
Jimona, alhamdulillah, what was mentioned in the random act of kindness was there was a sister who was her parents, her father was a non-Muslim, her mother was a Muslim, and in her teenage years they decided to opt for a divorce and the family was broken up, unfortunately. And what had happened was that her mother had abandoned her and she was left to go to her father, to stay with her father. And her father had given her the ultimatum that either she adopts the life of a non-Muslim and go to school and leave madrasa totally, or she had no other option other than that day. And what had happened was that she had turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had made dua unto Allah that, oh Allah, help me, I prefer the deen over this dunya, and that I wish to live a life as a proper practicing Muslim. And what had happened was at that moment in time, her auntie from her family had stepped in and had offered her that to come stay with her, and her auntie had taken her in. And the random act of kindness here was that her auntie had selflessly taken her in and treated her like her own daughter and had given her everything of the best, including allowing her to practice her deen freely. And now she is becoming an alima, alhamdulillah, and she has learned from this year that what has happened is that she has learned that no small act, no act goes unrewarded. Even her dua, she realized it was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what had happened was that she now realizes that every small act counts in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and any small act can change a person's life. And that's why she goes out of her way now to do small little actions that will benefit others as well.
It's the small things that count really in the scale of deeds in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Small little deeds that a person can do, sometimes just feeding a poor person or feeding an animal, and it is because of that we know the famous hadith of Sahih Bukhari where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum the story of the lady who was counted amongst the shameless women of her time. She was counted as a prostitute, but she saw a dog at the side of the well, licking up the moist sand because the dog could not reach the water at the bottom of the well and the dog was thirsty, and she had climbed down to have water herself. So she went down, took her boot, and she put water in it, and she brought it up for the dog. And giving the dog this water to drink, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a means of her maghfirah and forgiveness, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a means for her jannah. Now, a simple act of kindness for a seemingly, outwardly meaningless creation, or a creation that doesn't have much position or status in her life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it a means of maghfirah. Sometimes it is just that little thing that we do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favors, that nobody has ever seen, nobody would ever hear about it, wouldn't get any accolade because of that, but Allah ta'ala gives us so much as a reward.
Yes, indeed, Mullah. You know, looking at all the different actions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was known to be kind, and the kindness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had displayed to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, to little children that would walk past Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and play in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is indeed a great example for us of how to show kindness, how to practice the kindness that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had shown to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and to the different people. We see the story of Hazrat Umayr radiallahu anhu, the small little boy whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had joked around with him when his little bird had died, and he came and he says, Ya Aba Umayr, ma fa'al al-Nughair, that what have you done? what happened with the bird? Oh, Umair. So indeed, from this here we can see that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nobility, his generosity, his magnanimity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example for us. And is we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran as وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nothing but a mercy to mankind as well.
Alhamdulillah. This is the beauty of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it covered every single aspect of our lives. The love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concern of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not only for men but for animals as well. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's compassion extended to every single creature. That's the beauty of the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No other leader can ever claim to have that extent of a comprehensive approach in the leadership as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did.
Yes, indeed, we see that, you know, further during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was once a poor man came to the door of Aisha radiallahu an, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told Aisha that, oh Aisha, never turn away a needy man from your door empty handed. Oh Aisha, love the poor and bring him near to you, and Allah will bring you near to him on the day of resurrection. So subhanAllah, we see that even then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taking care of those, of the poor, of the needy, of the weak. And this is what the Ramadan is to teach us. You know, I was reading the other day the story of a revert, and what made him actually revert to Islam. And he was giving his whole incident, and he says the thing was that he had met a Muslim man, and this man here was telling him and told him regarding Islam, and there's a month of Ramadan. So he decided just to test out how Muslims survive during the month of Ramadan by fasting. And the country where he was staying at that time, it was a 15-hour fast. And what had happened was that he decided to keep the fast, and he says, you know, at the end of the day of fasting, I done it properly, just the way the Muslims done it, getting up at Sehri, breaking my fast at Iftar. And he says, you know, the mercy that it brought in my heart during that day for the poor, for the needy, for everyone around me, not only those who are poor and needy, but it brought mercy in my heart. And this is the month of Ramadan. This is the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descending. As we know, we're coming to the end of the first 10 days of the month of Ramadan, wherein these are known as the days of mercy, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers us with his mercy, and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in great abundance. So from this here we see that this month of Ramadan should imbue in our hearts greater amounts of mercy, and we should show mercy to those around us as well.
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Malana, inshallah al-aziz, you know, the listeners should keep on sending in these random acts of kindness, and perhaps you can just explain the details of the competition as well.
Yes, indeed, we are running a competition. The essays that are to be submitted, these essays here are any random acts of kindness someone may have done for you, or you may have done for someone else. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to. However, what happens is that it means that someone done it for you, an act of kindness. It doesn't, it's necessarily random, meaning that, you know, it came out of, it's not you do it perpetually, that every day you do it, but someone may have done something that changed your life, or that may have benefited you in any way, or you may have done something for someone. You do not necessarily have to mention your name as well. And what happens is, you write out an essay to Radio Islam, you may drop it off at our reception, or you may email it to the email address raok@radioislamlive.com. And inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those essays that are submitted, they will be reviewed, and those essays that make the criteria, that pass the criteria, they will be passed on and they will be read out on air. And the one essay that touches the hearts of our judges, inshallah, will stand a chance of winning 5,000 rand.
Okay, mashallah. So 5,000 rand for the prize or the person who does the best.
Ji, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah, that's an excellent prize. So get writing and get thinking about random acts of kindness. And I think the whole objective of this competition, Malana, is not just so that we mention, but rather so that we start doing ourselves, inshallah.
Indeed. you know, looking at the random act of kindness, it's basically to, it's called what we terming it as a nation building exercise, that if everyone can show mercy and can show kindness to those around us, inshallah, the world will be a much better place.
Inshallah, Aziz. It's 11:30, time for a break already, Malana, and then we can come back and discuss our Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, inshallah.
Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And Mawlana Naeem Saab, yesterday, alhamdulillah, we were discussing regarding Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had many great achievements. In particular, that he was a very wise person.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana. We were looking at the wisdom of Abu Darda radiallahu an, and his abstinence from the world, and how he had focused his life, his entire well living and everything on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though he was a good trader and he could earn great amounts of money, yet he preferred Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over trade and anything else.
Subhanallah. It was Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then regarding Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not want to, as you mentioned, earn the wealth of this world. And as we spoke about yesterday, that he preferred preferred staying abstinent from the world instead of dinars and dirhams, which he could have earned very much. And look at his philosophy towards life and towards the material things of life. He was influenced right to the depths of his soul by what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that little and satisfied is better than much and diverted. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَةِ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالَهُ وَعَدَّدَهُ. Woe to every taunting slanderer, backbiter, who piles up wealth and counts it over and over again. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. Thinking that his wealth will make him immortal. And with regards to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave the worries of life as far as possible. And he who makes life his only aim, Allah will destroy his unity and make poverty between his two eyes. He'll see poverty physically. And he who makes the hereafter his only goal, Allah Ta'ala makes his heart rich, and Allah Ta'ala makes every good thing come to him very quickly. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu used to say, with regards to those who are caught up in the material things of this world and the ambition of wealth, he said, I seek refuge with Allah from the dispersion of the heart. He was asked, what is the dispersion of the heart, O Abu Darda? He answered, that means I have money everywhere. Dispersion of the heart means I have money everywhere. And he called people to possess life by doing without material things. That is the real possessing of life. And running after the endless enticements of life is the worst kind of slavery. He said, he who cannot do without life is lifeless. Subhanallah. What a statement. What a strong and powerful and deep statement of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. If you just analyze this and just look at it, just ponder over it for a few minutes today, inshallah, I think that can be golden in benefit. He who cannot do without life is lifeless.
Subhanallah, Manana, what a brilliant saying indeed. That, you know, looking at life, he's focused his whole being. His focus was not on life itself, but rather it was on the Akhirah. And that's why he made the statement that indeed, if we turn our focus away from this life, and rather we focus it on Akhirah, then only will we be alive. If we focus it only on this world, then in reality, what worth is our living?
Mm-hmm. And that was the brilliance of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like that great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, Mawlana, we continue with the life of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And during the Khilafat of Uthman radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the governor of Syria, and Abu Darda radiallahu anhu agreed to occupy the position of judge according to the desire of the Khalifa. So there in Syria, he stood strictly as an example to all those who were tempted by the pleasures of life. He began to remind them of the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the asceticism that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced, and that of the early righteous Muslims and martyrs. In Syria at the time was quite urban. It was like a city overflowing with pleasures and amenities of life. The inhabitants were greatly annoyed by the person who embittered their lives by his preaching regarding Abu Dardar. And he gathered them and he stood among them and he said, "O people of Syria, you are brothers in religion, neighbors at home, and supporters against your enemies. But why aren't you ashamed? You earn what you don't eat. You build what you don't dwell in. And you hope for what you cannot achieve. The people before you collected cautiously and hoped confidently and built firmly. But their gatherings became perdition. Their hope became delusion. And their homes became graves." These were the people of Ad who filled the region from Aden to Oman with wealth and sons. Then a wide sarcastic smile would draw on his two lips, and he would wave his arm to the astonished multitude and cry sarcastically, "Who will buy the inheritance of Ad people from me for 2 dirhams? And that was the brilliance of Sayyidina Abu Dardar, that he could make his point and make people realize and understand that what they were delving in, what they were indulging in, was frivolous, and they need to really make effort for the akhirah.
Gee, indeed, Mullah. You know, if you look at his wisdom was very great, and it was mostly regarding his iman. It was full of faith. His wisdom was faithful, and his feelings were pious, and his logic was perfect and cautious. In his point of view, worship was neither vanity nor pride, but a request for good exposure to the mercy of Allah Ta'ala and continuous supplication that reminded man of his weakness and the favor of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala upon him. He said, request the good all your life and expose yourself to the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has fragrance in His mercy, which He ushers upon those whom He pleases amongst His servants. Ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to hide your defects and make your hearts steady and firm in times of trouble. This wise man was always open-eyed to vanity in worship, of which he warned people that vanity makes those who have weak faith worship proudly and boast of their worship to others. Listen to him saying, "An atom's weight of benevolence from a pious man is much better than a mountain's weight of worship from a boaster." He also said, "Don't charge people with unwanted affairs, and don't call them to account as if though you are their Rabb. Guard your own souls, and he who follows up the deeds of people will have his grief increased." Subhanallah, you know, looking at the wisdom of Abu Darda radiallahu anh, many of the sayings of Abu Darda radiallahu anh, today we can bring it into our own lives. We can implement the sayings of Abu Darda radiallahu anh, especially with regards to the world, with regards to hankering behind the world, with regards to judging other people as well. Everything that he said carries a meaning behind it and a lesson for us as well, Mulana.
Subhanallah. Yes, the way he approached people, the way he judged people, his companion Abu Qalaba tells us about Abu Darda. He says, once Abu Darda passed by a man who had committed a particular sin, and people were insulting the man because of the sin he had committed. So Abu Darda prohibited them. He said to them, "If you found this man in a ditch, would you not take him out of it?" They said, "Yes." He said to them, "Don't insult him. Praise Allah that Allah protected you from that type of a sin." And they said to him, "Don't you hate this man?" He said, "No, I hate his deed. And if he leaves the deed, he will be my brother." That was Abu Darda Radhiyallahu's approach with regards to anything. And he saw that greatness of life was dependent on goodness before anything else. He says, "Why do I see your scholars going away and your ignorant people learning nothing? The teacher and the student of goodness are equal in recompense. And there is goodness, there is no goodness in the other people besides the teacher and student." He said, "People are of three types: a scholar, an educated person, and a savage." Scholar meaning a student, and a teacher and a savage. He says, student and teacher, you must either be a teacher or you must be a student. Don't be anything besides them, and always consider yourself to be a student. And Abu Darda Lanhu said, the greatest fear of my soul is that it should say to me on the day of resurrection in front of all the creation, O owner, did you know? And I would reply, yes. It will say to me, what did you do with what you knew? Subhanallah. But look at that also, in the wisdom of Abu Darda Lanhu Mala Naim, that he was afraid that his soul will question him on the day of Qiyamah, that, O owner, did you know? Meaning, did you have knowledge? And I would reply, yes. And then the soul would reply, what did you do with that knowledge? You did not practice on that knowledge. You did not carry out what you learned. You did not stay away from what you learned was wrong. And Abu Darda Lanhu said that that is my greatest fear of my soul on the day of Qiyamah.
Yes, indeed, Mullah. You know, this should be a warning for us as well, for every person, and that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we will be standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge which we had, if we did not practice upon it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us with regards to the knowledge, because we know what is halal, what is haram, and if we went against what we knew, then indeed we are questionable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at Abu Darda radiallahu an, his admonition for us is very great, and this admonition should serve as a lesson for us. We look at Abu Darda radiallahu an's life, he used to respect the scholars and he would honor them very much. Moreover, he used to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying that, O Allah, I take refuge in you against the curse of the scholars' hearts. It was said to him, how could you be cursed by their hearts? He said that their hearts hate me. Do you see, he believed that the scholars' hate is an unbearable curse. Therefore, he implored Allah Ta'ala to grant him refuge. And we see that he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, and he would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him against the curse of the scholars, as well as not practicing upon the knowledge which he had obtained.
That is also a very, very deep thing that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu had said. And, you know, the fact that he said that, I seek refuge in Allah from the curse of the scholars. And then they asked him, how could you be cursed by the heart of the scholars? Not the scholars themselves, the scholars' hearts. Maulana Naim, why did he say this? Why did he say it in the scholars' hearts? And you know, the only thought that I can get in my mind is that an alim, a person of knowledge, if he is wronged in any way, he does not openly curse, or he will not openly criticize that person who has wronged him. He won't openly go out and say that you have done this to me, or you have done that to me. Whereas many a time, the ulama are abused. The ulama are hurt in some way or the other. It happens. And the alim will not say anything, but their hearts are paining. And because their hearts are paining, even as much as they are subduing that anger, but their hearts would probably be cursing that person who has wronged them. And that is what is referred to here by Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And it's a very deep statement as well of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, that, O Allah, I take refuge in you against the curse of the scholars' hearts. And he said, do you see, he believed that the scholars hate is an unbearable curse. Therefore, he said that their hearts hate me, that their hearts must hate me. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to value our ulama and our asatida. And, you know, us as students, we sometimes may have harmed or hurt our asatida. And our asatida will never ever openly curses, ever openly say anything against us. But if their hearts are hurt because of us, then we really have to be careful about that.
Yes, indeed, Mona. You know, looking at the ulama and looking at, verily, we do not know who is close unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is near unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many a times we say something or we do something, and like you had mentioned, Mona, that the alim himself won't come out and curse a person directly, but rather when the heart is paining, that's the time we do not know who is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, if that alim is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to his knowledge and due to his learning of the Quran and the Sunnah, and we hurt such a person, then indeed we are causing zulm, we are causing oppression. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even cause injustice to equal to that of an atom's weight. So if we causing injustice, we should really question ourselves and ask ourselves that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the dua of this man's heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at this man's heart and Allah decides to take revenge, who is there to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from causing us to be destroyed? Indeed, there is no one. So we should avoid harming the ulama, and we should try and honor the ulama and earn their du'as as well.
Inshallah. I see this last statement to mention of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu with regards to human relations on the basis of human nature itself. So he said, to admonish your brother is better than to lose him. Give your brother advice and be tender with him, but do not agree with his covetousness, lest you should be like him. Tomorrow death comes and you will lose him. And how can you weep over him after death when you did not give him his right while he lived? Allahu Akbar. These statements of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu really are marveling me. Mawlana, let's just repeat this and go over it slowly. To admonish your brother is better than to lose him. Give your brother advice and be tender with him, but do not agree with his covetousness, lest you should be like him. Tomorrow death comes and you will lose him. And how can you weep over him after death when you did not give him his right while he lived? Allahu Akbar. So taking it from the back is that before a person dies, while they are still living, give them that love, give them that attention, give them all of those kind words. And we hear when a person passes away, MashaAllah, this person was so kind. MashaAllah, this person was so good. MashaAllah, this person helped so many people. They had such good character, such good ways. So there's a brother in Ermelo, and I'll mention his name, Haji Isup Dankai. Always, Alhamdulillah, when he meets me and he mentions that, Mawlana, Jazakallah for all that you are doing for the community. And, you know, he really makes a lot of dua for us. And he said that, he says to me that, I'd rather tell you while you are alive than throwing flowers over your grave. And this is exactly what Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is saying as well. And, you know, we praise people after they pass away. Let us acknowledge them while they are living as well. And even if a person is doing wrong, admonish them. Admonish them. Tell them that what you are doing is wrong. But be tender about it. Be wise about it. Do it in a way that will strengthen your ties rather than a way that is going to break down that relationship. That is the way that we're supposed to do it and strengthen those ties. But make sure that we do that duty for the benefit of our brothers so that they can improve their lives before they die. After they die, there's no time to do that.
Yes, indeed, Mona. You know, this statement here plays a very important role in our lives, and it should be a very great lesson for us. That if we take just this one lesson here, and inshallah make an intention that we will practice upon this year, we will go very far in life and it will benefit others as well. And we can suffice to say that this will also be an act of kindness. By giving someone advice, by being tender with them, by giving them the correct advice, you do not have to agree with the act that they are doing. The act will be wrong. But if you give them the advice, then inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will also be your act of kindness towards that person there. And it will benefit, hopefully inshallah, it will benefit this person here. And you will be a means of this person coming closer unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well.
this wisdom of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu really can be written in gold ink and can be hanged all about. And you know, we really need to internalize this wisdom of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, internalize it, practice upon it, ponder over it, and we can make it our motto in life in many different situations as well. And Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, "I hate to wrong anyone." This is what it was. He said, "I hate to wrong anyone. Nobody must be hurt by me in any way." But then he said, he emphasized on one particular category of people. He said, "I hate more and more to oppress the person who resorts to Allah, the Most High and the Most Great, for help against my injustice." Allahu Akbar. So he said that, "I hate to oppress the person who turns to Allah for help against my injustice." So if somebody is asking Allah and making dua against me, making bad dua in our terms, as we say, for me, I really don't want to wrong that person or oppress that person. Because we know the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that between an oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are no veils. Their dua is readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, indeed, Mawlana, and we should make dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah protect us from the dua of the oppressed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to honor people accordingly and to not to oppress anyone, and to protect us from being oppressed as well.
Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, Allah ta'ala grant us understanding, and Allah ta'ala grant us the benefit of taking the opportunity of taking benefit from the words of this very wise philosopher and sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mawlana, it brings us to the end of our program today. Jazakumullah khairan for your time, and inshallah we'll speak to Idris Khamisa tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Shukran to Ziad Khan, our studio operator from Chennai Chassad, and Mawlana Naeem Takrat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.